Hello everyone. This is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday the 14th of June. The reading is taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 1 to 12, and I am reading from the Passion translation. God's times and seasons. From Paul, Silas and Timothy, we send our greetings to you, the Thessalonian congregation of believers, which is in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God's delightful grace and peace rest upon you. We feel a personal responsibility to continually be thanking God for you, our spiritual family, every time we pray. And we have every reason to do so because your faith is growing marvellously beyond measure. The unselfish love each of you share for one another is increasing and overflowing. We point to you as an example of unwavering faith for all the churches of God. We boast about how you continue to demonstrate unflinching endurance through all the persecutions and painful trials you are experiencing. All of this proves that God's judgment is always perfect and is intended to make you worthy of inheriting the kingdom of God, which is why you are going through these troubles. Encouragement of Christ's appearing. It is right and just for God to trouble your troublers and give rest to the troubled, both to you and to us, at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his messengers of power within a flame of fire. He will bring perfect and full justice to those who don't know God and on those who refuse to embrace the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the penalty of eternal destruction, banished from the Lord's presence and from the manifestation of his glorious power. This will happen on that day when he outwardly adorns his holy ones with glory, and they will be marvelled at among all believers, including you, since in fact you believed our message. With this in mind, we constantly pray that our God will empower you to live worthy of all that he has invited you to experience. And we pray that by his power, all the pleasures of goodness and all works inspired by faith would fill you completely. By doing this, the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you, and you will be glorified in him by the marvellous grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is often difficult when you are in one place to understand what people living elsewhere can experience, what a church located elsewhere can experience, and more generally to be aware of the situation there. The Apostle Paul had very good contact with many churches. He visited them often and wrote to them regularly. I see in this chapter of the Thessalonians the vital part that prayer plays in maintaining these fraternal links. As we read these few words from Paul, we should be challenged by our prayer life. Prayer is important. We know it, we understand it. But it's good to remember this often because for many of us, the first thing that disappears from everyday life is prayer. We may feel that our prayers don't make a difference in the circumstances for which we pray. So our challenge in thinking like this is to be constant in prayer. Three important points are revealed by the way Paul prays in the lines we have read. Paul is thankful to God for the Thessalonians. He is thoughtful in his way of praying. And he is conscientious in his prayers. If we are not like that, or even if we are experiencing it, we should think about it more frequently. Often, when we share our news, it's talking about what's going on, events in our lives, for example. These are subjects to bring to God in prayer. For example, we pray for those who are going through difficult times. And we are satisfied to be able to share these moments with others. On the other hand, it concerns me that Paul does not pray for this kind of subject. in particular in the second epistle to the Thessalonians, because the subjects which we evoke do not really lead us to prayers of gratitude. On the contrary, they are rather requests made to God so that he will change our current trying and difficult situation. You see, when Paul arrives at the Thessalonians, he sees their growth and he gives thanks to God for the evidence of his work among them. Now, what I'm trying to say is getting a little difficult. I want to speak about our vision of the world, of what is important to us, of what is important to Paul, and how to reconcile the two. Do we express our thoughts during our prayers? Thoughts like, what does God think? What is his will in this situation? Are we asking how our belonging to the Lord Jesus influences our situation? And when we look back, are we thankful for what God is doing? Do we think in a way that reflects our Christian faith when we form our prayers? Are we constant and conscientious in our prayers, even if it seems to us that the Lord does not answer? What we read here shows that Paul is grateful for his prayer life, and in his prayer life, without boasting about it, he is thoughtful and consistent. I would like to deal with the spiritual scheme that he uses for his prayer. The first thing to notice is the gratitude of Paul when he sees the evidence of God's work in the life of the Thessalonians in verses 3 and 4. There are three areas where God's grace is at work in their lives. Their faith grew more and more, the love they had for each other also increased, and they persevered in this way despite the persecution and the sufferings of their daily lives. This is the first foundation of this Paulian prayer structure. God is actively committed to increasing the spiritual maturity of his people. In the book of James, we discover that we must examine our lives in the light of the word. One must know how to realize sometimes that the spiritual growth observed in a community is in fact something that belongs to the past. Many may become satisfied and stop there with no real desire to continue this growth. In our text, Paul gives thanks to God for the spiritual growth of the Thessalonians. So we can thank God for what he does, because he is at work when he awakens the hibernating believers, spiritually speaking. By studying the first epistle of John, some might think that their brotherly love is not as strong as it could be. This love is defined by the way Jesus loves us. God makes us realize that we are not as good as we thought. It's a pretty painful experience because we have to be humble. We still have a long way to go. In any Christian community, we experience things that are difficult. The challenge for all is to support each other during these trials and to persevere in prayer. We see that God is truly Emmanuel, God with us through all of these experiences. God is aware of what is going on in Thessaloniki, and he gives thanks to God for the evidence of his divine activity. This is the basis of Paul's thoughts. God is able to raise up his people, to awaken them, to attract them to himself, and these are great subjects of gratitude. The second thing that is highlighted by Paul is found in verses 5 to 10. Paul fully grasped what God reveals to us in his word. That is, the ultimate reality for all mankind is eternity. There is not only this world that we know today. Eternity is completely real, even if it is invisible to us. Our bond with eternity is dependent on our relationship with God and our obedience to his word. It's not just for the future, but something to experience right now. As we obey the commandments of Jesus in the present day, when we walk in the light of his word, we experience eternity. Paul knows that Jesus will return. It is a reality, and that he will be glorified through his holy people. Let's look at verse 10. This will happen on that day when he outwardly adorns his holy ones with glory, and they will be marvelled at among all believers, including you, since in fact you believed our message. Here in the epistle to the Thessalonians, this promise is in the future. In other parts of the Bible, this idea is written in the present time, because eternity is in us now, and the glory of our Lord is revealed through us. On the one hand, Paul gives thanks for what God is doing. On the other, he recalls that everything that God does glorifies him now and for eternity. When Paul prays for the church of Thessaloniki, his prayers are guided by what he sees of God's work. God is active in his grace, and God will act motivated by just judgment. So we come to Paul's specific prayer for the Thessalonians. He prayed that God would find them worthy of their calling, of their vocation. In other words, let the Thessalonians live up to the act of grace that God has worked in their lives. His prayer is that they will become what God wanted them to be by his grace. He prays that the power of God animates them. We read in verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray that our God will empower you to live worthy of all that he has invited you to experience. And we pray that by his power, all the pleasures of goodness and all works inspired by faith would fill you completely. We have two aspects that Paul prays for: their likeness to Christ and their relationship to the Lord. The second, that the work they do for the Lord be the manifestation of the power and presence of God. One of the challenges of our time in each community is to ensure that our activism does not prevent us from bathing in the presence of the Lord, from rejoicing in his presence. In our church, there are those who very much love to serve and act. There are also those who like to be and like to spend a lot of time in contemplation. And the two groups can be quite distinct from each other. However, a believer in good spiritual health combines the two aspects of his Christian life. And this is why Paul prays that they be worthy of their vocation and that they know the power of God in their service for him. Paul tells them why he prays like this for them in verse 12. By doing this, the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you, and you will be glorified in him. By his marvellous grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am blown away to note that that is not only that God is glorified through us, but that we are also glorified in him. He explains to us how this can happen according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do it by ourselves, it's God's work. So that's what Paul prays for the Thessalonians. The challenge for us is to come to understand our situations and our needs by examining this biblical passage individually and collectively. What can we learn about how we pray and our prayer life? Paul seems to be saying that what matters most in Christian life is not that everything should go well, nor that Christians should be spared from persecution and hardship, but that they can experience a constant growth of the grace of God in their lives, that they may remain faithful for all eternity, that they may live in a manner worthy of their divine calling, and that the power of God will manifest itself through the act of their service to him, so that they may see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in each other. If we could pray for each other in this way, I believe we would see God at work, encouraging and helping us to take these difficult steps that he calls us to take: the growth of our love for each other, the growth of our love for the Lord, our service for him so that he may be glorified. That the people around us would see something radically different. Let them not just see that we are good people, but that they will also see Jesus, Without these prayers, we will not survive, and the Lord will be set aside. Amen.